KZFR supporters and by the Chico Chamber of Commerce, leveraging the voice of business for community good. For more information about Chico Chamber opportunities or how you can help move Chico forward, visit chicochamber.com or at 530-891-5556.
So the Christians and our pagans sat together at the table, finding faith and common ground the best that they were able. Just before the meal was served, hands were held and prayers were said, sending hope for peace on earth to all their gods and goddesses.
This is Faith in Common Ground. I'm your host, Jesse Kearns.
And I'm your host, Amber St. Clair.
And Amber, we are still on this series about deconstructing. And it's interesting because I've been listening to some more of these YouTube channels about young people, younger people, millennials, Gen Z, who are deconstructing their faith. They're taking some of the religious trauma from their past. They're sharing it. And as we talked about for the last couple of weeks, some of them are like, yeah, I kind of still hang my head on the Jesus hat rack, or hey, I'm still spiritual, but just not religious. But then there's always the ones that are out there saying, run away. Religion is awful. Become an atheist, you know?
Yeah, of course, some people are going to run away, always.
And that's okay, because I don't blame them. Because, you know, I carry some of that baggage from my early days of Christianity, too. So I'd like to introduce Kathy Fernandez. Kathy, tell us about where you minister and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Reverend Kathy Fernandez from the Center for Spiritual Living, Chico. And to give you a little bit of my background, I was born and raised as a Catholic and a Portuguese family. So always doing what the Portuguese Catholics do as festas. So lots of community gatherings, parades, lots of baking and food always around. And when I, about high school, of course, most people begin dating and having relationships. I went into college basically saying, yeah, I believe that I'm gay, and where does that leave me? Now, let's remember this was in the 1980s, giving away my general age. And in the 1980s, of course, you know, it's a lot more, not that we're there all the way, but a lot more acceptable now than it was then. And so something that I was deeply spiritual. I played in a folk group and was definitely felt a connection and a relationship with spirit. And then essentially, how do I transform that feeling as though I had outgrown where the Catholic religion was at? Now, of course, I was deeply spiritual. It may not have anything to do with me being gay, but it's like, as you know, then the priest, you can become a priest, but that's different than becoming a nun. And I do remember, even as a little kid, actually going home and pretending like I was the priest and doing the full ceremony.
So how young are you talking about that you did this?
Oh, probably between 7 and 10.
There's something so cool and disturbing about that all at the same time.
You know, again, the point is, even I, again, playing the guitar in the folk group, I used my music. And of course, that touches the heart and was, again, very important to me. And the songs that we sang, the connections I made with the people in the folk group meant a lot to me. Of course, when I went away to college, it was more a discovery period. And I think that's true for a lot of people. And so I tried out a lot of different, you know, student groups while I was at college, and definitely most of them Christian because that's where I had come from. And then, of course, I had taken, you know, this is what's great about college is opening you up to more worldly understanding. I was able to take a Eastern religions class and just continued to really explore and to learn and realize that, you know, other people can't be wrong for. If you grew up in a Muslim country, if you grew up in Israel, yes, you're going to be influenced by how to take your spiritual path. And so it just came to me, like, I know that in being gay, loving somebody else is not hurting other people. Mm-hmm. Hence, where can I find basically a spiritual community that will not judge? And that's how I ended up at the Center for Spiritual Living. We're much more open, less judgmental, definitely more into discovering where it is that spirit leads you, what are your gifts, where are your passions, and discovering that.
Tell me something about the origins of this Center for Spiritual Living.
So Center for Spiritual Living is really what's called a new thought. I don't really want to call it a denomination, but a new thought philosophy. And it was born in the 1940s, 1950s. Some of it comes from the Transcendentalists, which Thoreau, Walden, many of those. And where there were a lot of Christians basically metaphysically interpreting the symbols and the stories in the Bible. And basically using those metaphors and those analogies to basically, you might even say deconstruct what it was Jesus was trying to say. So the way when people ask me now, tell me a little bit about, so do you still believe in Jesus? Yes, we do. I like to try to bring people into the moment saying, okay, Jesus was here. And instead of us thinking about everything that's been constructed around him, what was his true message? And his true message was not to say, I'm different than you. When he said, follow me, he meant come with me, brother and sister. And therefore, even in deconstructing, for instance, the Our Father, recognizing that there was a certain way that Jesus would pray. And so we have what's called five steps of spiritual mind treatment, where we actually first look to our highest thought about what we think about our higher power, spirit, universal source, whatever you want to call it. And then recognizing that that is alive and living through me, through each one of us. And if that's the case, and I can unify with that spirit, which is what Jesus did, calling it our Father, then you can actually begin placing into, it is done to you as you believe. Now, not what you think you believe, but what you really believe. And maybe you were told things that subconsciously you believe today that you don't realize you need to deconstruct. And then we go into recognizing, again, the truth of who we are and what that means for lifting ourselves up, knowing that we're unified with that greater source, and then giving thanks for that and letting it happen, meaning let the law do its work. So when I discovered this, really, I like to call it a philosophy. It's a way of, again, creating that relationship from within and recognizing that that source, that spirit, that power is all right here, and in developing a relationship with myself. And a lot of people think they know themselves. I know what my favorite foods are or my favorite colors are, but they're not necessarily always thinking about, how am I thinking about myself? How am I talking about myself? And then same as regarding others. You know, obviously we have division in this country, and so people are thinking more about division instead of thinking about unification. And I just did a special Sunday lesson called Visioning for America. Let's get beyond the divisiveness, and let's just talk about the forefathers had a dream. We too can continue to dream. We haven't achieved the dream that the forefathers put out, and we still need to dream today based on the language and the presence and the understanding between diversity, equity, inclusion, social justice, etc., all those things. But we still need to keep seeding and planting and knowing that, again, this divine source is present here and now and can continue to unfold if we're willing to create relationship with it and put those thoughts forward.
I love all those steps that you just described, because really it's neurology, it's neurobiology, it's how the brain works and how you can change your program. It's a type of like self-hypnosis, really, and that's important, wonderful work. I also had another question. So it sounds like it's not a predominantly Christian organization, but all religions are included?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We love to say any path to knowing your higher power is a good path. And I also wanted to make sure to basically put in there that we do lots of spiritual practices. Yes, we do meditation, contemplation. Again, we do this visioning, visualizations. Of course, affirmations are also neurological, how you're talking to yourself. All of those are integrated into our spiritual practices.
Would you go as far as to say that it's a universalist type movement? And if so, or if not, how do you separate your beliefs from, let's say, the Unitarian Universalists?
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I don't know deeply a lot about the Unitarian Universalists, but I know that they're for social justice and they take action. We want to make sure that people understand they have to heal themselves before they can heal others. So there are, maybe one way to say it is that there are people who want to go out and get social justice, but they are still triggered within and they cause more triggering, which is not going to get us to healing. So I know one facet that I think I understand, and again, I'm not deeply an expert in the Unitarians, but I would say that probably less advocating outward until we know that people have advocated inwards their relationship.
Perfect. I was a religious education teacher for the kids, you know, teaching them about all the world's religions for about 8 years. And I would also say that there's a lot of like thought and talk and study of lots of things, including social issues and the world's religions, etc. And it sounds like you're starting from an inside out approach.
Correct.
Instead of from an outside in approach.
Yes. And we believe that once you really connect with yourself deeply, and again, unity and community, in other words, understanding your oneness with others, it's not just egotistically, I know that I'm of the spirit, so let me go do all of this. I mean, we know easily today, just looking at where we stand in news or social media, that we can actually learn more about ourselves by being in community, because we can understand how we deal with tough times or diverse people, etc. So that's key. But also making sure that once you do connect with yourself, we feel like once you do that, then you hit the love that wants to serve.
The talk about community and the, I would say, propagandized division, because I don't see it as real in real life as I see it portrayed in the media. Do you all incorporate shadow work at all?
Yeah, we wouldn't necessarily label it that, but absolutely. To know the true self, it's fine. Love and accept all of yourself, even the shadow side. Mm-hmm. And you'll recognize that the shadow side actually gave you gifts. Now, that's hard to accept when you're in tough times. But obviously, over, you know, many of us can actually look back. I can speak for myself, for instance, even in employment, when I was bullied out of an institution at one point, that I realized, you know what? I was really upset about that. It was really unfair and unjust, but I look back and I said, I landed in a better place. Thank you, Spirit, for lifting me to the next spot.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the questions I wanted to ask you today is, I want you to tell me about some of the milestones in your life that have helped your spiritual development the most.
Oh boy, that's a big question.
Yes, I know.
So again, I'd go back to the first one, being gay and having to do some really deep heart searching about, I know that I am connected to this spirit and I know I will not go to a hell, but I am living in a hell, having to figure out what this means to me. And do I need to buy into, again, my family is, all Catholic, and therefore, you know, they have a belief, well, you know, maybe you'll go to hell, or, you know, as far as the acceptance, it was very, very difficult when I was a young adult. And again, we lived in different times then, too. My family's very accepting these days, but it took a lot to get there. So doing the deep spiritual work, and again, realizing that, you know, Jesus's message was love. And if I'm loving somebody else, then how is that a problem? I can only be who I authentically am. And I think you would hear in my community that people constantly say to me, we love your authenticity. So I obviously have developed that over time. I also have a son that we adopted. His mom was murdered by his dad. His mom was my sister-in-law. There is a whole lot in that regarding, yes, going to therapy, both as family, with each other in relationship, and determining what we were doing in our family based on some of the tough times there. And I would just say, you know, anybody who I've been with my partner for over 40 years, again, through a lot of different trauma. My sister also died at the age of 39 with two kids, ages 4 and 7. So that was also a very difficult time. Life will tend to bring you those deep holes that you find yourself in, and being able to have a spiritual community already developed during that time to support you makes a significant difference. So I would say those three particular, you know, life experiences had me searching. Of course, I love to learn. I worked at the university for 35 years, so I'm always looking to find ways to open myself, to be better, to know myself better, and to be able to love and give to others. So all of that sort of tied together.
This might be a shallow perception, so feel free to correct me, but I'm curious about, there's like the, I want to say manifesting aspect of the practices that mm-hmm. your congregants and you adhere to.
Yeah.
But how do you deal with those big things in your spiritual context? Because, you know, no matter how much we think we can manifest like this beautiful, perfect life, life is full of
yes.
pain and sorrow and suffering, and that's just here. It's part of the program. What is the way that this thought process addresses that?
I'm really glad you asked that question, because a lot of people, especially if they don't really know the philosophy, do take it to the surface level and going, yeah, right, so I got cancer and I'm the one that caused this, or, you know, those kind
yep,
of things.
My thoughts weren't pure enough. It's my fault.
Exactly. Yeah. And this was, again, while my sister was, she first had breast cancer and then it came back as a sinus cancer, you know, yada, yada. It, you know, was several years. So the point was that I was constantly reflecting. And the truth is that many of us do not know our soul purpose. And this, when we came and was birthed here.
S-O-U-L or S-O-L-E?
S-O-U-L.
Okay, good.
And therefore, when the soul comes in, we don't necessarily, unless we have done deep meditation and can connect to that one source and wisdom and infinite intelligence, we're here to still work things out. And so it's not just about that. There are things deeper. And again, that's also just the call to go deeper, to say, what am I to know about this now? Maybe I'm to heal it, maybe I'm not to heal it, but I know that I'm in a process. I know I'm on a journey, and I know that there are pearls of wisdom that can serve my life depending on all these different suffering experiences that happen.
If you're just tuning in, this is Faith in Common Ground here on KZFR, listener-supported community radio. Let's get back to the word faith. One of the things that I'm going through, a milestone in my life, is understanding that faith is not about belief, even though a lot of folks will say that belief is the center of what faith is. I'm walking away from that. I'm deconstructing that, if you will. What does the word faith mean to you?
Well, there's a lot of people who can change their beliefs. The question is, can they surrender to knowing that I'm going to be okay? And that, to me, is the faith part. And as you practice whatever spiritual practice you do, as you do your spiritual practice, you pick up on the signs and the ways. I mean, you know, you watch. For me, I will say to my congregation, it may not work for you this way, but for me, here's how spirit led me to XYZ. And, you know, it's very personal, because what I'm thinking in my head and what shows up to lead me to the next place I need to go, somebody else would say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, if you were in my head and in my experience, you would see that I don't feel like I set my intention that way, but things led me that way, like the river. I love the conversation that says, it's more important to be in alignment with spirit than to effort. Because here we are at the human level thinking we're going to force and make something happen. We want to take control. But can we surrender to know that more deeply, if we open up, we will be led to, you know, a new perspective or a new way or something different?
I'm very impressed with your emphasis on leadership development, because we've had other Eileen has been on our show, Eileen Brownell, and Crystal has been on our show. And I can't remember whether Amy was on our show yet or not, but she's another person that we have that is within our circle here. And all of these people are just quality folks. How does one receive, well, I don't want to say how does one receive a call into ministry in your, but how is one typically led into that, and how do you pick up on that and help nurture that person through that call?
So I think that, you know, everybody's at a different capacity in their life. You know, for instance, we all know that as we raise kids, that certainly takes up a whole lot of time and energy versus, and I say that now because my kids are adults, and then now I have grandchildren, and so you see how the circle of life is happening. And I would say that people are asking questions, they open up, they continue to want to take classes or be at the center while we're doing particular activities. And you can see them asking those deeper questions. And again, not everybody's been taught how to really ask yourself deeper questions to get to know yourself more authentically. So you start to see that. Again, we have classes and we move into something that's called practitioner classes. This is really where you begin to, again, work in classes on whatever's happening in your life to understand what the principles are and then to practice those principles. You know, there's been times where people have come to our center and said, oh yeah, metaphysics, I'm good at that and I understand that. But it's one thing to understand it in your head. Again, people will pick up if you're authentic by feeling your heart. That's not usually how it's said, but that's what I believe happens. And so as people begin to take classes and actually get excited, we just got through with a prosperity class. Somebody said, this class changed my life. The title of the class was, you know, how to get out of the way of abundance that naturally is. And so there are students who aren't a part of our center, but took this class and started to, you know, do the practices. They were studying a little bit of quantum physics, how quantum physics works, and therefore how to put the pieces together. And people were getting unexpected income, $2,000 that they didn't expect. And so pretty soon, again, you're in a class, you're witnessing each other going through these times, being confused, asking questions, going deeper with each other. And then they're watching things evolve. I know for myself, the more I took classes, the better my life got. And it was an easy correlation. So soon then people become a practitioner and serve at the center for a while. And then, such as in Amy Roberts' case, you just end up in circumstances or situations that you recognize, well, I think I can still go deeper. I think I still want to learn more about myself, more about my community, and how I can serve based on the gifts that I've been given.
It doesn't sound like you can check your brain at the door when you go to the Center for Spiritual Living.
Well, you can. and I will say there are lots of people, you know, if you're hurting and you hear, again, we have no judgment. We don't condemn. We remind everybody that we are all a miracle. And again, I realize that that is a perception. But in looking at things differently, being able to change your mind and therefore see things differently, I mean, throughout the ancient wisdom, it's, yes, heaven is right here at hand, but it's how you're looking at things on whether you'll see it or not. And so people can come to the center and just feel like, this just feels good to me for now, and continue to feel, again, there's not the judgment, the condemnation, the typical, you must go over these hoops in order to get this far to do these things. And that can feel comfortable until somebody's ready to go deeper or not. And I've had somebody who's been at the center for well over 20 years, a very loving and compassionate person, but she's now taking classes. And she goes, I'm finally seeing that the principles I have held and my thoughts along with my life are now all starting to line up. Rather than just listening, I'm actually implementing and I'm feeling it experientially.
Again, I'm going back to the brain because I've studied hypnosis, etc. The reticular activating system is being activated in your services, and that's helping people to filter out all the negative things and filter in the positive things. And I think that's a wonderful practice. So I'm just saying, sounds like Jesse could come.
Absolutely.
And still be the pastor of his church, and a Buddhist could come and still do that. And it's almost like a practical tools group for spiritual practices.
Yes, and I didn't give credit to our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes. Of course, he had schmoozed with a lot of different people. I talked about the Transcendentalists, but also Mary Baker Eddy, Charles Fillmore, a lot of spiritual gurus, I'll say, at that time. And Dr. Ernest Holmes, you know, based on when he started, he didn't want this to be, quote unquote, a church. He basically said, what we are sharing together and learning together could go with any faith. And so he right out of the gate basically said, I don't see this as conflicting. He was a voracious reader, was able to consolidate what he had read and put it back out in a way that made it easy to understand. So he had, a gift. And again, when he did that, he felt like, you know, science and he said religion, because spirituality wasn't used as much as a, you know, key word, that religion and science will continue to come more together. And when you think about quantum physics basically saying, yes, the observer makes a difference on what they're observing, well, there you go. Again, it is done unto you as you believe.
So we've got about 2.5-3 more minutes left, so I got to ask you the question that we ask all of our guests, and that is, do you have any word of hope or wisdom for our listeners today?
Yeah. So one of the things I mentioned, that on Sunday we did Visioning for America. It allows people to actually take a moment and say, well, if you're not happy with the way things are, let's create. How would you like to see things be created? So what's my thing of hope? It's like, again, being surrounded by a community who supports you in who you are and continuing to realize, you know, we all believe in Wi-Fi. And why do we believe in Wi-Fi? Well, because my phone can show me when I'm out of Wi-Fi access or range. Well, you know, prayer is the greatest wireless connection ever. And so the key aspect here is to recognize that your thoughts are things. And if you let what you're reading influence you rather than you going within and influencing how you want to see things, how you want to create things, how you want to plant seeds for how you might like to see America in the future, those things lift us up. And again, those thoughts are things. We're all planting seeds to continue to move forward, be open at the top, learn more about one another, and continue to grow and develop together. I think that's really what we're all here for.
Thank you so much, Kathy. I'm glad that you were able to give us this time today.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that was awesome. Good job.
Thank you.
Faith and Common Ground is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and custom embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image is open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and by appointment. For more information, call 530-898-9525.
Every day, Chico local businesses help shape the community we all love. You're serving great food, creating memorable experiences, offering trusted services, and building relationships that keep Chico thriving. Now it's your chance to be recognized. The Best of Chico is one of our community's most anticipated annual traditions. A celebration of the businesses, organizations, and people chosen by the community they serve. Whether you've been a part of Chico for decades or just getting started, this is your opportunity to stand alongside the best our city has to offer.